This is Professor Henry Kissinger, a military and political analyst with a revolutionary concept of nuclear war and a constructive concept for peace. He's a man whose ideas have prompted the highest officials of our government to reevaluate our defense policies. We'll get his criticisms of our current strategies in war and peace in just a moment.
The Mike Wallace Interview, presented by the American Broadcasting Company in association with the Fund for the Republic, brings you a special television series discussing the problems of survival and freedom in America.
Good evening, I'm Mike Wallace. Tonight, we'll tackle the immediate issue that will decide the fate of our freedom, certainly, and possibly even of our survival. We'll discuss the conflict between the United States and the Soviet Union and the chances of war. Our guest, Professor Henry Kissinger, Associate Director of the Center for International Affairs at Harvard University, and the man whose recent proposals substantially influenced President Eisenhower's plan for military reorganization. Dr. Kissinger, last year, your attack on our foreign and military policies was apparently found so disturbing that the New York Times carried this front page story. They said, for the first time since President Eisenhower took office, officials at the highest government levels are displaying interest in the theory of the little or limited war. The theory of massive retaliation is being re-examined. That was a year ago. What has come of the re-examination?
I think the theory has been re-examined. The practice has not been.
The theory has been found wanting, then?
The theory has been found wanting, but I don't think we have made the effort or spent the money or made the sacrifices necessary to get a capability for limited war.
Well, now, in order to better understand your proposal for limited war, perhaps it would be well for you to define what you understand to be our current United States military policy. What is our military policy?
Well, our current military policy is based on the doctrine of massive retaliation, that we threaten an all-out attack on the Soviet Union in case the Soviet Union engages in aggression anywhere. This means that against almost any form of attack, we base our policy on a threat that will involve the destruction of all mankind. And this is too risky and, I think, too expensive.
You obviously think it's wrong, dangerous to our security. I wonder if you would expand on that. Just because of what you say, the risk, and just because of the expense, it is not worthwhile?
No, it is. What it will mean is that in every crisis, an American president will have to make the choice whether a given objective is worth the destruction of American cities. The American president will have to decide whether Beirut or whatever the issue may be is worth 30 million American lives. In practice, I'm afraid the American president will have to decide that it is not worth it, and it will therefore encourage the piecemeal taking over of the world by Soviet aggression.
Because you believe the Soviets understand our unwillingness or inability, certainly our unwillingness to wage an all-out war?
The Soviets will understand our increasing unwillingness to engage in this kind of war, and therefore their task will be to present us with a challenge which doesn't ever seem worth taking the final jump, but which the accumulation of which is going to lead to the destruction of the free world.
In place of that policy, what do you believe our military political policy should be?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that military policy can't be a substitute for other measures. It can only be the screen behind which other measures are possible. Now, with this qualification, I think that we must have a military capability that permits us to react to Soviet threats at the same level of intensity at which they present it, so that we don't always have to choose between the destruction of the United States and the defense of the countries that may be threatened, but rather that we can defend the areas which are threatened at the place where the threat occurs.
Now, how is that actually
Good
translated?
Morning. We'll jump in there. Friday, April 29th, 2022. Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. As always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. Things are happening in the world that are seemingly coalescing in an effort to take us back to Genesis chapter 6 via Genesis chapter 11. as I've mentioned the last couple or few days, I find the names in Genesis chapter 10 curious and provocative. So, and those names reappear later in the Bible, which is also, I would say, provocative. So, in particular, Genesis chapter 10, verse 2, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tyrus. Those are some interesting names. And when you skip forward in the Bible, you encounter those names, and they are names of infamy. So, the last couple of days, I read some excerpts from Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America, published back in 1944, on the heels of World War II. And there were some other things happening at the same time. There was the National Military Establishment that was created out of the National Security Act here in America, for example, the National Military Establishment, as it was known, or the initials NME, the enemy, I would say. And it's the enemy of all mankind. But out of that were birthed a number of organizations. The CIA became a legitimized institution born, you know, resurrected out of the ashes of the phoenix of the OSS, basically. And, of course, you know, institutions like the RAND Corporation, Department of Defense became officially a thing. And the Pentagon and those things were commissioned all as a result of the National Security Act, which was a reaction and part of a reactionary movement to two world wars, the second in particular. And now these institutions have been normalized and legitimized. Most Americans can't conceptualize life without the Department of so-called Defense, for instance, and the RAND Corporation has escaped the capture of the Army. It used to be the Army's premier think tank, and now it offers its services to anyone who has money, and usually who has money is large foundations like Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, etc. And so you have to wonder, why is the Army's think tank making itself available to anyone anywhere around the world virtually without discrimination? Friends, enemies, frenemies, as long as you have money, why would that be the case? And also you have to wonder who benefits, you know, when you look at the monographs at the RAND Corporation. And you see that they're sponsored by a grant from the Rockefeller Foundation, for example. Who benefits when these monographs are sponsored by large foundations? Is there an agenda, perhaps? I have mentioned in the past that we have been warned, you know, folks like James Madison warned us in Federalist number 62 about the sagacious and moneyed few who are able to harvest the benefits of government regulations. That might be a possible agenda. As Madison put it, another effect of public instability is the unreasonable advantage it gives to the sagacious, the enterprising, and the moneyed few over the industrious and uninformed mass of the people. Every new regulation concerning commerce or revenue, or in any manner affecting the value of the different species of property, presents a new harvest to those who watch the change, or who shape it and bring about the change, perhaps, and can trace its consequences. A harvest reared not by themselves, but by the toils and cares of the great body of their fellow citizens. But, you know, they don't usually recognize them as their fellow citizens. They consider them, you know, in a loathsome, disdainful sort of fashion, plebes or herd beasts, cattle, you know, chattel property, that kind of thing. So Madison said, this is a state of things in which it may be said with some truth that laws are made for the few, not for the many. So that might be a possible scenario or a motive for example, the Rockefeller Foundation to fund and commission certain studies and resulting monographs or reports, but also what about shaping society and the public at large, which sort of correlates to the aforementioned, but also goes well beyond that. Much has been said about the probabilistic nature of American society, the planned society, the scientific, technocratic society of today. And so this Friday, you know, as we head into the weekend, food for thought might be your power. You know, we hear about power and speak your truth and all that kind of nonsense these days. One's power does not consist in the group or groups to which one belongs, or one's victim status or psychopathy or any of those kinds of things. It seems the power of the individual lies in the individual, and from a particularly Christian perspective, the power actually resides in and emanates from the Holy Spirit. That's a different conversation, but it's the dunamis power, the same Greek root we get the word dynamite from in the New Testament. But again, that's a separate discussion. So the individual and your individual choices, and to develop those as much as possible, which, by the way, you may recall, is something that Friedrich Hayek addressed in The Road to Serfdom, and I've referred to that many times. He put it eloquently. The forgotten road, right? Excuse me. The road to serfdom. There's Lord Acton's introduction. And this is sort of the other side of the socialist bent. So the abandoned road, quoting Roosevelt, a program whose basic thesis is not that the system of free enterprise for profit has failed in this generation, but that it has not yet been tried. And I would add, as I usually do, still has not in succeeding generations either. So how ironic. But speaking of this individualism, that was the concept, wasn't it? The way Hayek put it, the essential features of that individualism, which from the elements provided by Christianity and the philosophy of classical antiquity, which we've sort of explored over the last couple of days, was first fully developed during the Renaissance and has since grown and spread into what we know as Western civilization. What are the features? Hayek tells us they are the respect for the individual man qua man, that is, the recognition of his own views and tastes as supreme in his own sphere, however narrowly may be circumscribed, and the belief that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents. But, you know, if you are a demagogue, that doesn't really bode well if you have those kinds of folks generally speaking in a society, which is why in chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, Hayek writes, there are three main reasons why such a numerous and strong group with fairly homogeneous views is not likely to be formed by the best, but rather the worst elements of any society. So we have to descend to the lower to the regions of lower moral and intellectual standards where the most primitive and common instincts and tastes prevail. This does not mean that the majority of people have low moral standards. It merely means that the largest group of people whose values are very similar are people with low standards. It is, as it were, the lowest common denominator which unites the largest number of people. If a numerous group is needed, strong enough to impose their views on the values of life on all the rest, it will never be those with highly differentiated and developed tastes. It will be those who form the mass in the derogatory sense of the term. The least original and independent, who will be able to put the weight of their numbers behind their particular ideals. That's the eusocial mob and the tyrant's majority, essentially. So that's the real enemy, and the person who has their views and tastes differentiated and refined, as Hayek puts it, who has an opinion of their own, as he goes on, here comes in the second negative principle of selection for the demagogue, he will be able to obtain the support of all the docile and gullible who have no strong convictions of their own, but who are prepared to accept a ready-made system of values, if it is only drummed into their ears sufficiently loudly and frequently. It will be those whose vague and imperfectly formed ideas are easily swayed and whose passions and emotions are readily aroused. Are we kept frothy in America in a constant emotional state? Who will thus swell the ranks of a totalitarian party? So it's the individual with the differentiated and refined views and tastes, someone who has strong convictions of their own, who has reasoned things out without regard to the superstitions and taboos of the day, as Mencken put it, who is the great enemy of the, shall we say, the New World Order and these grand plans to create a world socialist state that date back to at least Plato. So we're sort of examining that, and there's an entry along the way that's fun. Johnny Vedmore published an article, or wrote an article published over at the Unlimited Hangout last month, March 10, 2022. You can find it and a little video that will play probably from Greg Rees on republicbroadcasting.org. It was published a couple of days ago. Klaus Schwab's mentors who helped create the World Economic Forum are revealed. And this is, you know, on the grand plan to essentially take us back to Genesis 6, I mean, that's really what it is, via Genesis 11, which seems pretty darn clear and self-evident as you look at what is happening, what has been happening for the last 100-plus years, certainly, on the so-called geopolitical stage. We are headed that direction, and we are being encouraged to set our own individual thoughts and ideas and reasoning, our views and tastes, as Hayek might say, aside. It's all in the name of the greater good, dear comrades. It's all for the greater good. So we're led to believe, what is this greater good that we hear about? This mystical force that is supposed to compel us to do things that are sacrificial, self-sacrificial, sometimes even to the point of personal harm or death. That's the messaging. What's the plan? Where is this all leading? We're going to bring that conspiracy down a few notches from the highest esoteric levels that I think Hall's Secret Destiny of America talks about. And we'll talk about some of the individual folks over the last several decades who have been shaping this. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Things were better, you know. I think if we perhaps, if we just sort of reflect on some things, you know, maybe some rules for the road might be, because things were better, what would Sinatra do? I think, you know, if we live by the notion, you know, WWJWD, what would John Wayne do? Sinatra would do strange things that the rest of us probably would not do. You know, stepping out of a helicopter with a glass of Jack Daniels is probably not something most of us would do on your front lawn, no less. That's it's probably not something most of us would be inclined to do, even, I suppose, if we had the ability. And, you know, again, society tells us that's just not acceptable these days. It's, you know, part of the superstitions and taboos of the day. So what would John Wayne do? WWJWD, or, you know, would you say WWMMD? You know, what would Marion Morrison do? But really, you know, you listen to the interviews of folks, guys like Bruce Dern and who else? Duvall and others who worked with John Wayne. It's the larger-than-life screen persona that followed him everywhere, even in personal life. So I think in that sense, you probably wouldn't say, what would Marion Morrison do? You probably say, what would John Wayne do? But in any case, watch films, watch how people behave. You know, what's depicted on the screen, the silver screen in particular, so to speak, is, at least in this context, is emulated by folks. Young people do that all the time. They have for generations. And so that shapes culture. You know, who controls the past controls the present. Who controls the present controls the future. How does that work out? Well, sometimes create a sort of mythological series of tales that then in turn shape the perception and in turn the persona of people. There is the notion of the myth of the West, for example. I mean, you can go to Wikipedia if you're not familiar and read the frontier myth or myth of the West. There have been several books written about this. You know, I've talked about this in the past. This idea that there are, you know, Time Life. Remember the Time Life book series that sort of immortalized many of these concepts that are largely fictitious or certainly embellished? You know, if you remember the Time Life series, you probably remember the commercials that just seemed, you know, fanciful and even fantastic, you know, like fantasy kind of fantastic. And that was not by accident or without reason, without purpose. So that's one of the ways. And if we can stand apart from that and examine it, see why and see who we are and what we're all about, well, then, again, you know, that's dangerous to the forces that would seek to control everyone and guide and direct society in a benevolent enough sort of fashion, right? So, again, the person who is able to reason things out for themselves, if that's possible, because you know, again, speaking from the Christian perspective, I think when Isaiah is telling us what God says, come now, let us reason together, in Isaiah 1:18, it's actually only he who can reason. We can't. We're, you know, it's a bit of irony. Come now, let us reason together. If man were able to reason, he wouldn't be in the position that he's in, with the issue of enmity in view. So, stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a
welcome back. What would John Wayne do? Well, maybe that doesn't work either, because John Wayne would go to Lookout Mountain and film military propaganda, military grade propaganda for the American people and beyond. But so I guess that's that. Notion is not without its issues as well. In any case, I want to get back to the subject matter. Before we do that, it's Friday. We can jump around a little bit if we want. Greg Reese always does interesting stuff. I want to play the video titled Megadeth Intellectuals of the Great Reset. The Megadeth Intellectuals of the Great Reset. which is, again, part of the post on republicbroadcasting.org posted a couple of days ago. Klaus Schwab's mentors who helped create the World Economic Forum are revealed. That is a composite of both the Greg Reese video that I just mentioned. It's embedded in there, as well as Johnny Vedmore's article, which Greg mentions Dr. Klaus Schwab, or How the CFR Taught Me to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. So that's a fantastic article. And for those who don't know, I mean, you read these names, you know, these are the people, I would say, kind of on this side of the wizard's curtain, or certainly kind of, you know, half in, half out of, half behind the wizard's curtain. You have folks like Henry Kissinger, obviously, John Kenneth Galbraith, William Yandel Elliott. You know, these are people who have been very influential in ways that few, if any, really understand. And it goes far beyond, you know, foreign policy or policymaking or things like that. Herman Kahn is mentioned in the article, among others, and so the perilous dance of the Cold War, and again, the shaping of the psychological group makeup is directly in view over the last 70 or so years, 70 or 80 years, and in his article, Vedmore surmises that the reason why they're returning to the Cold War scenario is because they don't have anything new. They don't have any new ideas. I would disagree, and I would say, actually, it's that this works extremely well. It has proven to work extremely well, so if it ain't broke, don't fix it, kind of thing. That would be my synopsis, generally speaking, but that's just my own opinion. Before we get to the other video, the Megadeth Intellectuals of the Great Reset, Greg Reese did a cool thing, interesting, fascinating video April 13th, I believe it was published. A brief history of criminal FBI entrapment operations, which I think is important. I tried to, you know, this also corresponds to all of this in shaping perception. Oftentimes what happens, you know, again, this incorporates other dynamics sometimes, like beggar thy neighbor, you know, in reverse beggar thy neighbor. But, you know, the strategy of tension scenario, the Gladio, Operation Gladio, or variants, Gladio B, Gladio C kind of thing. It's that strategy of tension that most people were unaware of, the world was unaware of for 50 years after World War II, when we learned in the 90s that there was a conspiracy to stash weapons and to have a secret military force ready, you know, kind of the, you know, a Minutemen of sorts if communism reared its ugly head again, was the good reason that we heard, but the real reason has proven to be something different. So then from there, you know, we hear that maybe that went away, but then maybe not so much. And then you fast forward to incidents in recent, you know, incidents of the recent past, like there's a peculiar shooting in Paris that doesn't make sense. And you might ask, which one? That's a good question, but they're all weird. All of these incidents always have weird earmarks that just are outlandish and don't make any sense. Where do these people get weapons? And we hear, this is why we have to ban all of these weapons, because, you know, this is why we have to punish law-abiding citizens, because, you know, these people are getting guns, which don't come from anywhere remotely related to where law-abiding folks get firearms. It's the Gladio contingent. It's these stashes, which is why automatic weapons from a parachuting are traced back to a little-known company headquartered in Parkland, Florida, which you may have heard of, the Broward County area, a company called Century International Arms, CIA, whose executives also have relatives at a Parkland school of note that also was involved in some kind of shooting incident. The school was, the mainstream account was that the school was recently fitted with cameras in every corner except for this one building where someone just happened to shoot the place up, you know. And speaking of peculiarities, this person goes through the building with several costume changes, including looking like a stormtrooper. One of the teachers thinks that he's police. Says, why are the police here? Several costume changes, no cameras in that building. There's video footage of several men dressed like the teacher described exiting the building, aerial footage, and throwing duffel bags in a white pickup that then leaves. But those are the things that we don't hear about later. Why is that? Just strange coincidences. Or, speaking of Broward County, there, of course, was the incident with the young man who worked for G4S as a security guard. In what capacity, I'm not entirely sure. But remember, he was up in Alaska, lived in Alaska, stopped by the local FBI office to say the CIA, I think the CIA is trying to recruit me into ISIS, or, you know, this radical Islamist ideology. And the FBI field office detained him for psychological evaluation, took the firearm that he had in his vehicle, did a psychological screening, determined, nah, he's fine, shipshape, everything shipshape. Let him go, and it wasn't long after that that he ended up in Florida at the airport there in Broward County, through, you know, by way of Minneapolis. And when he arrives at the airport, he empties his pistol in the airport there and then sprawls out on the ground. How did that happen? How was he able to evade detection with a firearm on a plane? And he just happened to work for G4S. So all of this is part of a larger scenario that most people are painfully unaware of, the strategy of tension that cows most people and is also instrumental in shaping public perception in ways that, you know, escape the vast majority. But you'll notice, I think this is important, because there are a number of, I mean, there are the high profile things. There's the Whitmer case where, again, you know, it comes to light that there are more, it's just all FBI agents and informants. That's all there are in this plot. Or, you know, the January 6th incident, or the Draw Muhammad, or you know, Draw Muhammad, where even 60 Minutes asks the FBI, hey, what was going on there? How come your agent was tailing these two guys and didn't do anything when they jumped out and started shooting, but then your agent drove away and was stopped by a sheriff's deputy? That was awkward. What was going on there? What did the FBI know? And then we learn the FBI agent was actually in touch with everyone in the plot and was texting and on social media with these people, communicating. So these are things that happen. And again, the reason I mentioned G4S is because, speaking of Serco, speaking of the outsourcing of intelligence, which we know is an established fact for more than 15 years now, the intelligence community has been predominantly outsourced. We know that's a fact. We know that these kinds of operations are an established fact of history. Gladio and, you know, the Gladio model or archetype. We know that strategy of tension operations date back to antiquity. False flag, same thing. So it's, I think, important for people to know. So without further ado, Greg Reese's video, A Brief History of Criminal FBI Entrapment Operations, and it's not limited just to the FBI, but here's that. Go ahead, please.
Last week, a jury acquitted two men of all charges in a plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer because it was clear that the FBI set the whole thing up. While it is surprisingly good news to hear of their acquittal, it is not strange to hear of the FBI setting people up. They've been doing it for generations. During the late 60s, FBI informant Tommy the Traveler traveled to colleges throughout the U.S. posing as a student protester. He encouraged nonviolent activists to make Molotov cocktail explosives out of gasoline and successfully convinced two students at Hobart College to firebomb a campus ROTC building. Joseph Burton was hired and funded by the FBI to start a group of Maoist radicals that was deployed to the 1972 Republican Convention to encourage peaceful demonstrators to topple a bus and blow it up. The bomb that killed six people at the World Trade Center in 1993 was built with the help of FBI informant Imad Salem. After the bombing, the FBI paid Salem over $1 million to recruit others in a plot to blow up other targets in New York City. After the 9/11 attacks, the FBI went public with their long secret tradition of entrapment. In 2004, FBI informant Elda Woody was paid $100,000 to gain the trust of Shawar Saraj, become his mentor, and turn the conversation towards planning acts of violent terrorism. For months before his arrest, Saraj is on record politely trying to say no. In 2006, FBI informant Ali Assad was paid $85,000 to bully followers of a cult-like group called the Seas of David to swear allegiance to Al-Qaeda, which is all they needed to give five of them long jail sentences. In 2008, FBI informants Brandon Darby and Andrew Darst brought Molotov cocktails to the RNC. In 2012, five men in Cleveland were directed and groomed by the FBI to discuss the bombing of a bridge. In 2015, a week before actual terrorists Elton Simpson and Nadir Hamid Sufi opened fire on a crowd of people in Garland, Texas, an FBI agent commented, "Tear up Texas," on their social media. That same FBI agent was dressed in Middle Eastern garb and drove behind the perpetrators on their way to the attack. The FBI claim that this is a coincidence. These are only a few of the instances that we know of. There are many more. The FBI has a long history of unchecked criminal activity. So it is no surprise to hear that the FBI planned the Governor Whitmer kidnapping. That is what they do. What is surprising is that the people are starting to wake up. And that's good, because there are still hundreds of innocent Americans rotting away in jail for the so-called insurrection at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Another obvious false flag executed by the corrupt U.S. Department of Justice. And these same crooked liars are busy trying to lie and deceive us all into a nuclear war with the rest of the world. So it is a very good time for the people to start waking up. Our lives will likely depend on it. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Okay, so I guess I'm talking to myself there. Apologize. So it's interesting to note the nuclear war aspect and, again, how this shapes people's psychological perception. Greg Reese even mentioned nuclear war. This correlates directly back to Johnny Vedmore's article and the clip that we played at the outset of today's broadcast of Kissinger, you know, the infamous 1958 Mike Wallace interview. And Kissinger sort of unpacks this idea of Kitson-esque low-intensity conflict, limited war. That's what we're doing now. And so what is the point? Well, generally speaking, the operative concept is there are no radical terrorists, there are no, you know, radical fundamentalists, you know, whether they're Christian identity, Muslim, you know, whatever. There is no such thing. There is only COINTELPRO, PATCON, sheep dipping, hail Hydra. There's only Hydra. Why? To create chaos. Why? Well, back to what I was saying at the beginning of the hour and for the last few days. That's why. If you want to turn the world upside down and cow people in the process, prevent them from resisting, this is a very effective strategy historically. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's broadcast. I have a playlist. And I mean, the citations go on and on. And how is it that most Americans, again, remain painfully unaware of this information? You know, just briefly, I mean, I have a playlist, Operation Gladio B, on the Road Warrior Radio YouTube channel. 85 videos. Synthetic terrorism. Federal court upholds another FBI manufactured terror case. There's obviously Trevor Aronson, and this is not just foreign, it's domestic. You think of, again, the Boston bombing. Who was Uncle Ruslan Sarny? What was going on there? Pulse nightclub. Dude's, what was it? Father was an FBI informant for lifelong FBI informant. All of these kinds of things. Every single time you hear about one of these bizarre, just outlandish, far-fetched, high-profile incidents, these kinds of issues are always in view. You know, I mentioned Cheryl Atkinson recently. She, I would say, blew the lid off and the story wide open on the Fast and Furious stuff, which is sort of a limited hangout discussion. It wasn't Fast and Furious. It wasn't gunwalking. It was Gladio. And then it sort of morphs into, well, it's actually grenade walking. And, you know, it's actually this kind of stuff. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, we heard about DOD 1033, for example. How much of that hardware found its way into Gladio-styled little caches around the world? So Cheryl Atkinson says, you know, it's not gun walking. It's not, yeah, we're going to, the Obama administration says, we're going to give known drug lords and terrorists thousands of firearms so we could trace it back to the nest. No, it's Gladio. That's what it is. So to say Fast and Furious is a limited hangout. So you have Cheryl Atkinson, you have Sybil Edmonds telling us the same thing, Gladio B. You know, speaking of McVeigh, Oklahoma City, and sheep dipping, I think James Corbett did a masterful job on that. If you're not familiar, look that up. But, you know, we play that clip, Andrew Breitbart saying, you're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? That's what happens. It's a way to cow people. But who was Timothy McVeigh? Again, go watch James Corbett's piece on that if you're not familiar. Trevor Aronson, as Greg Reese mentioned, literally wrote the book, The Terror Factory, on the subject and was not rebutted, has not been legally challenged to my knowledge. Hey, that's libel, that's defamation, these things are not true. Trevor Aronson said in his TED Talk that we play from time to time how this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists. After years of research, there were the two studies that I mentioned. There's the Project Salaam study. And there's also the Human Rights Watch study that tells us that the overwhelming majority of so-called terrorism prosecutions in the wake of September 11, 2001 are as a result of these, you know, foiled FBI plots. Mohammed, the Pioneer Square bomber in Portland, FBI manufactures the whole plot. Drives him there. Even have a driver. It's unbelievable people don't know about this. Second hour coming up. Go to the phones. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.